Welcome to You Be the Judge, episode number 17. The Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah states that one may clean a shofar with wine or water. However, one may not use mei raglayim urine for this purpose, because to do so would be exhibiting a lack of respect to the mitzvah. This ruling is actually brought down in Shulchan Aruch as well, in Aruch Chaim, in Tav Kuf Pei Vav, Chaf Gimel. And this would seem to contradict what it says in Maseches Kala and Perek Zayin. The Gemara tells us, why were dogs given the zchus, the merit, that their body waste should be used in the production of cloth parchment for Sifrei Torah and Mezuzos? Says the Gemara, because when the Jewish people departed from Mitzrayim, lo yechatz kelav l'shaynei, no dog barked at that time using their tongue. Notwithstanding the fact that the dogs have this zchus, would that not demonstrate a lack of respect for the mitzvah? We're using a Sefer Torah, our holiest item, tefillin, mezuzahs. How could something so repugnant be used to produce the holiest of objects? What's different between a Sefer Torah and that of cleaning out a shofar? Why is one allowed and the other one it's not? This very question was asked by the Sfas Emes, and he leaves it as an unresolved question. However, Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein says, perhaps the reason one is allowed to use dog waste to produce parchment is because back in those days, there was no other method that was able to achieve the same results. Since that is the only way leather is properly tanned, it's not considered degrading, and it is therefore permitted. The Sefer HaManik at the end of Hilchos Tefillin writes that he heard that in the land of Aragon, which is in Spain, the people disqualified a Sefer Torah because its parchment had been produced using dog's waste. He suggests that perhaps they had compared it to that what was said regarding the Keteres, that the Keteres says that although technically mei raglayim could be used to enhance the Keteres, it's not added mipnei hakavod because it's disrespectful to bring such matter into the Beis HaMikdash. They thought that this Sefer Torah should be also rendered unusable. However, the people of Spain were mistaken. First, because the conditions when bodily fluid, when enhanced the Keteres, is talking about when the mei raglayim, the urine, is still fresh. One would have to distance themselves 4 amos from it in order to recite Kriya Shema. Similarly, any bodily fluid should not be brought into the Beis HaMikdash because it is a disrespect for the Beis HaMikdash. However, dog's waste that is used to produce cloth has already dried and technically has no foul odor. The Sefer HaManik continues that the residents of Aragon also made a second mistake, and that it's very clear in a number of places throughout Shas that we learn a very important lesson from the dogs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never shortchanges the reward for any of his creations. In return for these dogs not having barked when the Jews left Mitzrayim, the dogs merited that their bodily waste is used in the production of cloth in Sefer Torah and Mezuzos. Accordingly, we cannot deprive the dogs of their just reward by now saying that the Sefer Torah is possible, because Hashem said, this is allowed. It would appear then, according to this Sefer HaManik, that even in our times, when one can process the skins chemically and does not have to resort using dog's waste, it still would be allowed. And it's actually the proper use of the dog's waste so as not to deprive these creatures from their heavenly reward. Second question. Soon after Shul had finished davening, the Shemini Esrei of Musa and Rosh Hashanah, a masked man crept stealthily into the Aron Kodesh and removed one of the Sifrei Torah. The man in Shul only noticed him when he began to make his way towards the Shul's exit. There was no way for them to stop him unless someone would shout out, "Thief! Thief!" The question is, could they interrupt their Shemini Esrei in order to stop the thief from stealing the Sefer Torah? On this, Shulchan Aruch writes in Kuf Dalet Aleph that it's forbidden for someone to interrupt the Shemini Esrei to the extent that even a Jewish king inquires after his welfare, he should not respond to the question. This is because one who is davening is likened to standing in the presence of the King of all kings. If one were standing in the presence of a mortal king and turned mid-speech to speak to someone else, he would immediately be put to death for showing such insolence towards the king. How much more so if one is in the presence of Malach Malchei Amlachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the king of all kings, not to show such disrespect. Shulchan Aruch continues that one may not speak in the middle of Shemini Esrei, even in the cases of great necessity, such as in a case of monetary loss. If one were in the middle of davening and he noticed that a baby had passed water on the floor, He may not verbally instruct someone else to bring water to nullify this child's urine, as doubting the presence of such liquid is only asur midrabbanan. However, had a child discharged solid waste, then one may alert to speak to others who are davening there, because it's better for one to speak and violate a rabbinic prohibition rather than his neighbors violating a prohibition min hatayra midiraisa of davening in the presence of solid waste. Therefore, talking in the middle Shemoneh Esrei is prohibited midrabbanan, even in cases of monetary loss. However, it's permitted only in cases of pikuach nefesh or to prevent someone from violating an iser midiraisa. Perhaps preventing the thief from stealing a sefer Torah could be seen as preventing someone from violating an iser min haTorah. He's stealing. On the other hand, it's not similar to the case of the Mishnah Berurah, because the thief is bringing the aver upon himself. However, the Mishnah Berurah is discussing people who are unaware of the prohibited waste product which is present in their surroundings. One could compare our case to the story of Avram Avinu, who interrupted his audience with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to invite three, quote-unquote, guests to his home, as Achnosas Archim is greater than Kabbalah's Pnei HaShchina, than greeting the Shechina. Avram Avinu was not only likened to someone standing in the presence of the king, he was actually in Hashem's presence. How could he interrupt his audience, even if he felt a great need to do so? We must therefore conclude that when there is a more important mitzvah to do than greeting the Shechina, one may interrupt his meeting with the Shechina to tend to the other need. Accordingly, one could argue that preventing someone from stealing a Sefer Torah, which is a Chilul Hashem, and a disgrace to the Torah's honor, as well as to the honor of Hashem, would take precedence to davening Shemoneh Esrei as prescribed. In such a case, interrupting one Shemoneh Esrei is not an insult to Hashem's honor at all, since he is interrupting only on account of Hashem's honor. Rav Moshe Feinstein, in Chayshe Mishkan, Chelik Beis, Ayin Tes, writes this very idea in explaining the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadikei Amud Aleph. David HaMelech's life was in mortal danger, and Avishai ben Tzruya was uncertain whether it was permitted for him to ride the king's mule in order to save King David. The Chachamim told it, indeed it was permitted. Asked Rav Moshe, how could Avishai ask such a question? Isn't it obvious that the dictate of Pikuach Nefesh would allow him to use the king's mule even if it normally was prohibited under regular circumstances? Therefore, Rav Moshe explains, Avishai understood that in order to rescue a king, a miracle was required. And a miracle would not take place if it were to violate an Isser. His question now was whether his behavior was permitted to the extent that it would not preclude a miracle to be done on the king's behalf. The response that he received was that the prohibition of riding the king's steed is associated with the king's honor. In a case where the king is in danger, there is no degradation to the king to use his mule, if doing so is actually saving him. Therefore, it was absolutely permitted, and indeed a miracle did occur to help Avishai save David HaMelech. Similarly, in our case, there is no dishonor in interrupting one Shemoneh Esrei in order to prevent the theft of a Sefer Torah, as one who speaks so is doing so in order to preserve Hashem's honor. However, one should not imitate Avraham Avinu's behavior by interrupting his Shemoneh Esrei to tend to his guests, because once Klal Yisrael accepted Arvus, responsibility for one another, the guest is also responsible for understanding that his host is in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei and he cannot interrupt. That factor was not present with regard to Avraham Avinu's guests. In addition, nowadays, once Shulchan Aruch ruled that interrupting one Shemoneh Esrei is Aser Midrabanan, he may not interrupt his Shemoneh Esrei even in order to perform other mitzvahs. And the final question, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was asked by his students why the Torah gives a harder punishment to a ganef, a thief, as opposed to a gazlan, a robber, an open thief. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai responded that a gazlan treats a slave the same way he treats the master, whereas a ganef treats the slave with more respect than he does for his master. Meaning, a gazlan is not afraid that Hashem is watching him, but he's also not afraid of people, the slave. He will plunder in broad daylight and take property from its owner by force. However, a ganav, he darts his eye furtively in all directions to ensure no mortal will see his misdeed. He shows that he is more afraid of people, the slaves, than he is of the master, Hashem, as he is willing to steal in Hashem's presence, but not in the presence of flesh and blood. This is Gemara in Baba Kama, Ayin Tes Amud Beis. This Gemara would seem to contradict a different Gemara, that of the Gemara in Brachas, Chof Ches Amud Beis. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai fell sick, his students came to visit him before he passed away. they beseech their beloved Rebbe to give them a bracha. Rebbe Yechem ben Zakkai, bless them. Yemar Shemayim Alecha, that you should have fear of heaven, the same way you're fearful of people. His Talmidim were astounded. This is what their Rebbe would give them as parting words. There's no the greater aspiration for them to suffice with fearing Hashem as much as the fear of man. Rabbi Yochanan exclaimed, Halavai, I would be happy if it were to even reach such a level. He then explained that when a person is about to commit an avera, a sin, he is very careful to make sure that he is not being observed by anyone else. And that is the level of the Yirah Shemayim that he wished his Talmidim to achieve. This Gemara implies that it's only natural for a person to fear his fellow man more than Hashem. Doesn't this seem to contradict Rabbi Yochanan's condemnation of a ganiv for possessing more fear of people than that of Hashem? Because he actually does fear people. So on this, Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein says, the Gemara in Baba Kama is discussing the ganiv's fear of being punished if he's caught. He is faulted for fearing punishment by law enforcers rather than that of divine retribution of Hashem. For not realizing that his life itself is completely in the hands of Hashem, that he deserves to get punished for. In contrast, the Gemara in Brachas is discussing a person's personal sense of shame. The avera in question may have nothing to do with his fellow man, and yet a person is embarrassed to sin in front of others more than he is embarrassed to sin in front of Hashem. One does not innately possess the same feeling of shame before Hashem that he does when he's in front of other people. This is the trait that a person must work to strengthen, and that's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was trying to instill into his Talmidim as his lasting legacy. Thank you for listening.